So now we continue our study of 2 Peter. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Let's hear the word of God to us. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and establish in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Let us pray. Lord our God, Heavenly Father, we do pray now that you would give us ears to hear your word. Give us an understanding of it. Also give us the knowledge, the faith that we have now the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his church. So we pray that you would give us ears to hear him. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Have you ever experienced that the things you want to remember, you forget? And the things you want to forget, you remember? That happens to me. It's amazing that I read recently, it's actually been discovered that our brains are so fixed that they're inclined to receive and to store, to hold on to longer the negative than the positive. Yes, we're more quickly to receive the negative over the positive, to hold on to it. It's actually our brains work that way physically, they say. I believe that that's probably true. I mean, we have so many warnings in Proverbs, for instance, about listening to those first who come to us and give us this story. Why do we have to have that? It's because we are prone to believe the negative from what we first hear. We are then admonished to investigate the matter before listening to such things. I believe that this is partly a result of the fall. All of us have a propensity to be led by the flesh. And of course, in all of this, Satan is at work to destroy us, to divide us, to discourage us, to emphasize to hear the negative. And I think it's also applies to us spiritually. We have, in a sense, a spiritual problem. It affects our spiritual lives. It is so easy, is it not? So easy for you, for us as believers, to forget what God has done in our lives. We face some difficulty, and we forget his grace toward us. We forget our relationship with Christ. We forget the many graces we've known through Christ, the many gifts that we receive from the Lord. It's so easy to forget those things and to emphasize the negative. We have so much in Christ. We need to remind ourselves to look to the past, the mighty works of God in our lives, who you are in Christ, of God, and thinking of God and his might, his promises, and all of these things. And remind ourselves, for instance, of what Peter tells us of those who are in Christ. They are partakers of divine nature, have been transformed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my point is that we need to be constantly reminded of these things, of what we do have in Christ. It was so for the psalmists. I invite you to turn with me, for instance, and then this is just one example, a few examples of many examples of this throughout Scripture. Psalm 77, for instance. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Goes on I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate all your work, talk of your deeds. Same idea, meditate, to meditate upon. It's to remember these things. Let me go on. Your ways, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who's so great as God as our God? You are the God who does wonders, who have declared your strength among the peoples. He's remembering these things. He's bringing to his remembrance these things to encourage him, to strengthen him. You have your arm. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, so on and so on. Go notice verse 20. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, referring, of course, to the great event of the Exodus, when God led his people out of Egypt into the promised land. Again and again, if you read these verses throughout the Psalms, actually, but particularly in this Psalm 70, in 70, 76, 70, so on and so on, you see again and again how God has done them so many good things, great things, has delivered them again and again and again. And they, it seemed like they turn to him and they repent, but they turn again away from him, and he judges them again and again, back and forth, and judges them. They repent. Sometimes if you read it here, you'll see where he talks about how they refuse to repent. On and on and on. But notice how again and again the psalmist, as I said, it's throughout the Psalms, calls to his memory and wants to call the people to remember the great works of the Lord, what God has done for them and in their lives. And I could cite many other passages that say the same thing. Of this, particularly of Psalm 77, verse 11, William Plummer says, the psalmist would so remember God's dealings with his people of old as to meditate upon them and be encouraged by them. Encouraged by them. That's why we remember. We ought to remember to be encouraged by them. Be reminded. Remember the love of God, the grace of God, how good he has been to us, how good he is to us. And so with Peter. Here he wants these believers to remember certain things. And the Holy Spirit wants us to remember certain things. We normally give our particular interest to last thoughts, last sayings of wise men. Have you found that true? It's amazing. Well, for instance, Charles Spurgeon, I love to read of him and some of his last thoughts, the last 2 years of his life, where he was so physically miserable, could barely go up the stairs to preach, gout and all kinds of problems. Preach up to, I think, the last Sunday before he died. So here we have an amazing glimpse into the heart of such a man, by God's grace, a wise man, Apostle Peter. At first, on the surface, that perhaps seems sort of obscure, unimportant, irrelevant. This kind of his side thoughts. It's easy to quickly read them and give no real thought to what he's getting at here. But upon examination, we really see much. Here is a Christian man, a man of faith, called by the Lord Jesus Christ, walking, living, thinking, in the presence of Almighty God. Here, he's this apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only because of that, the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. It's also because of what he experienced as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can identify, I think, with him too. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that time, that night, when he denied Christ three times? And then there's that wonderful passage in John 21 where Christ comes to him, recommissions him as an apostle. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that's what he's doing here. He's living out that command, that commission. He is feeding his sheep. He had suffered many, many things for the sake of Christ. We know Acts full of all kinds of persecutions that he went through in jail, threatened. You know, don't preach anymore about Christ, but it says he went out joyfully thanking God that he had suffered for the sake of Christ, and he went from door to door preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is a man who was called to preach the gospel, had this overwhelming, great sense of his calling. An urgent feeling about it. Why? Certainly because of his calling, but certainly also because he understood something that you and I must understand, get in our minds and our hearts, and that is the brevity of our lives. And that's what he understood. He talks about it. He understands that his life is about to end. He says that even Jesus has told me so. And here he is, out of that urgency, because he mentions it, he wants to lay before them, be diligent, follow after Christ, make the most of your life while you have time. Psalm 90, verse 12, part of the wisdom literature. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, you young people, you need to hear this. You look about us, you see young people, young adults, children. Look at these adults here. You have older adults. There's a funny thing that happens as we get older. It seems like time goes faster and faster. You know, they say that's because something physical change in us. Our body temperature changes. I don't remember if it's up or down, but it seems like life goes on faster and faster. We can look back. Many look back in their lives with a sense of emptiness, maybe. A midlife crisis, sometimes they call it. Here I had these plans to do this or that, and here I am, and those things weren't accomplished. I think we all struggle with that. There is, young people, it's important to understand this. Someday you'll be like us, Lord willing, if you're not sort of the reason, pass away. Life is short. The Bible tells us that it is as a vapor. It is a wise thing for you to count your days, number your days. You have actually very, very few. What will you do with them? What will you do with them? Kind of a side note, a little funny story. My parents just... They went to extremes to keep us, our children, my siblings, believing in a Santa Claus. I think it was fourth or fifth grade. It was about Christmas time. And we were talking about Christmas, and I said something about Santa Claus and that I believed in Santa Claus, and everybody laughed. I went home crying to my mother, and my mother threw a fit that they told me there was no Santa Claus. My parents would do everything to keep us believing in Santa Claus. They got a nephew, an older nephew, to go up in the house Christmas Eve and night and pound around in there. Oh, it's Santa. But come to me in the middle of the night, us in the middle of the night, we're asleep, and he has a Santa Claus uniform on and talking to us. And my mother cried when she found out that I no longer believed in Santa Claus. I loved Christmas so much. I looked forward to Christmas. Beyond all the other things, Christmas. Time goes. But time, things change. It's amazing. Now it seemed like then forever till Christmas. Now it seems like just no time at all. That's the way it is. Your life, our lives, are like a vapor. So here's Peter. We read in verse 12 that he resolved to remind them of these things. Well, what things? Well, the preceding paragraph, the need for these Christian virtues, this Christian character, reminder to them of what God has done. He's made them, given them a divine nature. They have a precious faith like theirs, like the apostles. They have experienced the grace of God in their lives, apparent peace in Christ, knowledge of God and of Christ our Lord. Then he reminds them of their duty to make their calling and election sure, and then the manner in which that is to be done. That is, they add to their faith all these different Christian virtues. The motives is to make their calling and election sure, prove that they are really have been called, effectually called by God, that is, called by the Holy Spirit, given a new nature, transformed, as our confession says, enabled to embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. Forgive me for this. I'm perspiring and sweat is running down my nose. So, in verse 9, notice again verse 9 in our text. He says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, when you've considered before, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So his concern is that they would grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, that they would remember more and more, be reminded of the grace of God toward them in Christ. He says in verse 12, though you know them and are established in the truth, but they needed to go on. They needed to be led on away from any error, because isn't it true? We have a tendency to forget many things. Sometimes it's good. There are things that we want to forget, we should forget, try to forget, hurtful things, grudges, wrongs against us. But when it comes to spiritual things, there are many important things that we need to remember, that we must never, ever forget. Sometimes that is, to forget those things is of no consequence, but sometimes it has terrible consequences. How many times do we fall into all kinds of things, temptations, difficulties, because we forget Christ, because we forget what we are in Christ? We need to be reminded of these things. We need to be reminded of the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel, or our minds and our hearts will slowly slip away. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. One of the reasons for it. Thank you. That's what the Lord's Supper is about, is it not? Do this in remembrance of me. Isn't that what we should remember? The Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter was aware of all this. So he resolved to remind them always of the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel, the truth of Christ, the truth of what they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. For something to get to you, to really, really affect you, to affect us, it has to be repeated. It must be repeated. Do you know that part of the success of Sesame Street was repetition? Repetition. Repeat the same thing again and again and again. But what object does Peter have in mind in reminding them of these things? Verse 13, he tells us, to stir you up. Or as the New King James and the New American Standard says, as a reminder, by reminder. It means to awaken from a sleep, to refresh your memory. Peter taught them these things, for instance, referred to in verse 12, not that they would be just mere spectators, not that they would be good debaters, good conversationalists, able to discuss theology, though those things are important, but they would be active, living for Christ, active in their calling, in their duties, patient in suffering, and good, bold soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wanted them to be awake spiritually, to be active Christians, useful, productive, sober-minded, seriously minded. Not that they would not grow weary in well-doing. He talks about being diligent, abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we need. That's what we need to be doing. My wife and I pray daily together, and one of the things we pray about, and I'm sure many here pray about again and again, oh Lord, use us. Lord, turn our country, bring our country to repentance. Make us bold for Christ. Enable us out of love for Christ to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after Him. Humanly speaking, on the human side, a lot of the problems we have in the church, in the world today and in the country, is the church has not been bold. Proclaiming Christ, living for Christ, being used by Christ for His glory and for His honor. So here are these believers. Peter knew that they were going to face many heresies, false teachers, and how they needed to resist the growing strength and the knowledge of Christ. And the only way to do that is through the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word. And that's the only way you will persevere. It's through the truth. Peter knew that they would be suffering, they would suffer persecution, that the only way that they would stand would be to know Christ more and more about Him, look to Him more and more, look to the power of the Holy Spirit in His life, the sufficiency of Christ in them, on and on. Christ, the power of Christ in their lives. So Peter says that they, notice what he says there, he wants to stir them up. Notice verse 13 again. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And so this is true for every one of us, for you, for every Christian. As I said before, it's according to verse 14, Peter knows that he's about to die. And here in verse 13, he's talking about stirring them up. The question is this: if you, and for all of us, really, and you young people too, if you knew that you had only today to live, you woke up this morning and you knew that you had only today to live, what would you do with it? What would you do with that day? Had only today. In regard to your wife, in regard to your husband, in regard to your children, your mother, your father, friends, what about setting things right? If you had only this day, what about the things of Christ and His kingdom? What would you do if you knew that you had only today? Do you know this is true, though? You don't know that you don't have only today. You might have only today. This is Peter. He had this sense. He had a short time. This tent, this dwelling place is perishing. Your tent is perishing. It's perishing daily, constantly. And it made him diligent for the things of Christ. Faithful to Christ, faithful to these Christians. You know what it is to be faithful? One person has defined it as obedience to God regardless of the circumstances. Obedience to God regardless of the circumstances. Another one said, it is obedience to God when nobody is looking. Faithfulness to God. And Peter apparently was such a man. Obedient to the Lord. In fact, I think this is what really gave him this sense. Paul certainly had this sense, the constant power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. That's what encouraged him, helped him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of Christ. And I'm sure it helped him to remember how God had dealt with him. Remember, he denied Christ 3 times. And then Christ, of His grace, restores him, commissions him, and he becomes this powerful, bold preacher for Christ, as we read in the book of Acts. So he had this sense of the shortness of life, He knew the Word of God. It was clear to him. God had a plan. We need to have this in our minds. God has a plan for the world. God is carrying it out. There is this glorious day coming, this crowning day for all the children of God, a day when those in Christ will enter the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we read in verse 11. And that's what you and I must never, ever forget. The most important, vital thing in the whole world is to know Christ. You must never forget Him. We must never forget His sacrifice, His resurrection, His exaltation. So what lesson specifically do we have here? Do we learn? Well, do you see how gracious the spirit of true Christianity is? Here, this Peter. Here's Peter, apparently an old man at this point, has labored for years, has faced severe trials, yet here he is, facing, he knows, his death. It's imminent. Yet he's tranquil. He's at peace. He's happy. And he's busy proclaiming Christ. Could you be so? If you knew that your death, if you knew it was imminent, many people have known that. I mean, with great illness. I have a nephew right now. It's in critical care back in Minnesota. Has lived a godless life. We believe as a family that he has come to Christ. But he has a matter of just hours to live. That can happen. That can happen to anyone. Anyone. Death is imminent. Actually, in a sense, if given this life and how short this life is, it's a vapor compared to eternity, it is imminent for everyone. I don't mean to be morbid, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And so to Peter, nothing was more important than this, the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching Christ, helping these people. That really is where the rubber, isn't it? Where the rubber meets the road. The road. It's Christ. Knowing that Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith, that He is your trust. Do you see how gracious then, second, the spirit of true Christianity is in reference to others? You and I have seen so many older people who are so sour, so bitter, just want to be left alone. I counseled a couple a little while back, a man in his 60s, his parents had been dead for years, bitter toward his parents, particularly his father. But not Peter, here he is, he's warm, affectionate, professing Christ, preaching Christ. But do we have the same mind? Do we have the same heart? I've been counseling with, working with a friend I knew many, many years ago, 20, 30 years ago, when I lived in Grand Rapids area, pastoring an OPC in Ionia, Michigan. I lost contact with him, but as a couple of years ago, got back in contact with him when we moved back here. And he had been in jail for 10 years, and he got out about a year and a half ago. I wanted a friend of mine, a professing Christian, to meet this guy, to kind of help him, encourage him. So we had lunch together, the three of us. This friend of mine saw when I invited to meet this other guy that had come out of prison, and he saw that he had this GPS on his ankle. Afterward, he said, I never want to be around him again. What? What? Talk about self-righteousness. That's like the Pharisees getting after Jesus, for eating with sinners, Pharisees, and Gentiles. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. So how did Peter come to this? By an intimate, personal acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ. remembering that he was a sinner, this is what we need to remember. And saved by grace, denied Christ, saw him. Remember right after the cock crowed, he turned and there was Jesus, and their eyes met. And it says, when he saw Jesus' eyes, he went out and he wailed. This is really the meaning of the Greek. Wailed. Loud wailing, crying out. He realized what he had done. Now he's thankful. Not self-righteous. Loves Christ. Willing to lay down his life for Christ. This is not new. It's basic. It's simple. But may I remind you of these things to stir you up. One person has put it this way: it is important to enlarge the circle of human knowledge, to get new thoughts, new facts, new combinations of facts, but it is 1,000 times more important to have the complete realization of one or two things that we know. Let me ask you, do you have a complete realization of Christ in your life? The person of Christ, the work of Christ, what Christ has done in your life, the blessings that you have in Christ. Do you specialize in the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, it is because you and I forget him. We forget the power of God in our lives, the sufficiency of Christ in our lives, that we neglect our duties, that we are not diligent in the things of Christ, that we lose our comfort, that we worry, that we fret, that we despair. If that's you, the answer is Christ. It is. Study Christ. Know Christ. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. How useful then, to the degree that you understand these things and study him, to that degree, you will be calm, hopeful, triumphant, even in death. Even in death. Remember, Peter was mere flesh and blood, as you and I, but renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are some of the things that you and I must never forget. Let's never forget. Let's pray. Lord our God, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word to us, how we need to hear these words, how we need to be reminded of these things, reminded of Christ, reminded of who we are in Christ, of our need of Christ, reminded of how life is short, life is but a vapor. May we, by your grace, the sufficiency of Christ, put to use what you have given us, new life in Christ, boldness for Christ, laying down our lives for Christ, denying ourselves for him. And it is in his holy name that we pray. Amen.